Yeah, so attendees in the chamber must switch off their delegate microphone when they are not speaking. Attendees in the chamber using their laptops to join the meeting virtually must ensure that they mute their laptop speakers and laptop microphone. Attendees at home must mute their laptop microphone when they are not speaking and should, where possible, use a headset, headphones or earphones. All attendees should pin the camera of the chamber and the chair, if not physically in the chamber, in their Teams meeting by right-clicking on each and selecting pin. The meeting will be both audio and video recorded, and members to remain mindful of this during all proceedings. Instant messaging facility should be used by members to indicate if they wish to speak on an item on the agenda. Members are reminded to only use the following in IM: Q if you wish to ask a question, P if you wish to propose, and S if you wish to second. Please refrain from typing anything else into the instant messaging facility. The chairperson will invite members to speak in the order in which their message was received on the IM conversation. At this stage, you unmute your microphone to speak or click the button on the delegate microphone if you are physically in the meeting room. It is important for ease of use that only the member invited to speak by the chairperson unmutes their microphone. Otherwise, the meeting becomes unmanageable. Members accessing the meeting remotely should ensure their camera is switched on when speaking. Following the presentation of the officer's report, the chairperson will call for a proposer or seconder. This should be done using the IM feature. Please do not submit these until asked to do so, as it may be missed. If two members ask to propose, the first member having indicated through IM will become the proposer, and the second member having indicated will become the seconder. The chairperson will ask the proposer and seconder in turn to unmute to indicate vocally that they are proposing and seconding the decision. During a show of hands vote, members should indicate whether they are for, against or abstaining using the IM feature. The totals will be tallied and the Democratic Services Manager will read them out for the purposes of the recording. During a recorded vote, the Democratic Services Manager will read the names of the committee members in alphabetical order. Members should respond for, against or abstain when their name is read out. Members accessing the meeting remotely should ensure their camera is switched on when voting. If you need to leave the meeting early, please indicate via IM feature so that we are aware of that this is an active decision and does not indicate connectivity problems. Members are reminded of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct. Yeah, thank you. Okay, folks, so we'll make a start. I have apologies here from Councillor Owens and from Joe Parks.
And Councillor McCabot will be joining the meeting shortly. It's just been held up.
Okay, thanks, Terry.
Thanks, Terry.
Right, Chair. I have no further apologies.
That's great. Thanks, Johnny. Okay, so we move on to the action sheet from the Neighbourhood Services Committee on the 15th of December. I'll just take it page by page. So page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4. Have we any issues arising on the action sheet? Councillor Casey, you have a question there?
Yeah, thanks very much, Chair. It's to do with the piece on that about the pest control service. I know the Legacy Council did have that at one stage and we had it out privately. I know, like me, we're inundated with complaints about rat infestation and stuff like that more often now than ever for some reason. And there was some suggestion that the council would maybe consider getting that, bringing that service back. And we were to investigate what the financial cost would be and what the general view of council officers would be. But I would still be of the opinion that it's something we should give serious consideration to. Thanks very much, Chair.
Okay, thanks, Charlie. Johnny, do you want to come in on that?
Yeah, sure, I can come in on that. Members may recall the meeting in December. I advised the committee that it was a matter for the Active and Healthy Communities Directorate. They have responsibility for environmental health. And the agreed action of the committee was that I would speak to the director, which I have done. And that director has confirmed with me that he will be raising the matter with the Assistant Director of Health and Wellbeing. So, Chair, I would imagine that any proposal would be brought forward to the Active and Healthy Communities Committee for member consideration.
Okay, thank you, Johnny. Are you happy enough with that, Charlie?
Yes, thanks, Chair. Thank you very much. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other issues arising from the action sheet? No, okay. We'll move on to Sorry, can I get a, do I need a proposer and a seconder for the action sheet, Johnny? Can I get a
yes, Gareth, that's correct.
Thank you, Terry. And Councillor Casey seconded. Thank you. So we'll move on to item four, which is the use of floral hanging baskets for council summer display in 2021. And Kevin Scullion is going to take us through this one.
Thanks, Chair. The report does focus on the use of hanging baskets, which has been a part of council's floral display over the years. But since RPA 2015, the new council has continued to use hanging baskets as part of the summer display in the Legacy Down area, not the Legacy Newry area. Now, the details on the number of hanging baskets is provided in the appendix to the report. Last year, we didn't proceed with that because of COVID, but the year before, we did. In the Legacy Newry side of the district, the practice of use of hanging baskets ceased a number of years before RPA. And before I was involved in the process, but I understand the reasons were down to resource issues and also health and safety restrictions in terms of how you can carry out work close to roadways where the hanging baskets would have been held and other health and safety issues brought to an end. They are a labour intensive to maintain. In many ways, their use goes against the council's aims that it has in terms of being more environmentally sustainable. We're sending men out in vehicles to drive around the district a number of times a week to water these during the summer period. Previously to this committee, I provided reports about the ongoing work we have within the grounds maintenance section to change the way that we carry out our grounds maintenance on the ground to have a more all year round display at different areas within the district, particularly around the high footfall and high vehicular traffic areas at roundabouts and places like that. If the time resources and financial resources that we could save by moving away from use of hanging baskets, we would redirect them into the more focused, sustainable approach that we're trying to promote within the council. So, Chair, what we're asking the committee to do is to approve the recommendation that we discontinue the use of hanging baskets and that we roll out the other key themes which are outlined within the report under Section 2. Sure. Happy to take questions, and tonight we're joined by my colleague, Johnny Ellis, who's the grounds maintenance manager and is very much involved in the changes that's been rolled out yet around the district at the moment in terms of the grounds maintenance service. Sure.
Okay, thank you, Kevin. We have a couple of questions in there. Councillor Andrews, you were in there first.
Thanks very much, Chair. At this stage, I would like to pay tribute to our ground staff, maintenance staff, and so many others across the district who have put a lot of hard work and effort into making the district such a wonderful place. I'm concerned about the proposal with discontinuing hanging baskets. I would sit on the Northern Ireland Amenity Council, and at the time on the Amenity Council, and have gone to awards ceremonies and seen it firsthand the excellent work that has gone into floral displays and the likes of hanging baskets, etc. You know, and the likes of towns all in their own district that has been up for awards, and others like Brock Sheehan, and you know that. I've gone the extra mile and put together such a wonderful display, including hanging baskets and everything. And I believe that to do brighten the place up and enhance our towns and villages, and I think myself this decision should be looked at. And I'm not happy with the recommendation that has been put forward this evening. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. Kevin, do you want to take all the questions first, or?
Well, was there a question there, Chair? I really think it was just...
Is it just a point you're making, Terry?
It's a point, but I'm making it a proposal as well.
Okay.
But that will maintain, the current situation as it is. Okay. On the reasons what and the rationale that I've outlined.
Okay.
Was there another question, Chair? Was there?
Councillor Curran's in there next.
Sorry, yes, Chair. I listened to what Councillor Andrew was saying. Yes, the hanging baskets did contribute to you know, enhancing the villages as you come in, they got there. And I listened to what the officer said that he got there, and you know, there's and his contents of what he said there's some merit in it, and they got there. But my question was, if we're not going down the line, if council's not going down the line of supporting these or putting these, maintaining these hanging baskets, could the villages who want to have them, could the villages want to have them, and they would maintain them themselves, could they have some monetary support in buying the baskets?
Sure, yeah, I mean that is something that could be considered. It is a commitment that the communities would make, and I'm sure there are many communities who would be prepared to do that. We have done this before, not directly in terms of hanging baskets, but we have signed up a license agreement with some communities whereby the council contributed something and the community contributed something. So there is the potential here, perhaps, if the council was prepared to provide the hanging baskets, if the local community was prepared to water them during the summer season. Now, that's perhaps more environmentally sustainable than what we're currently doing. If we're sending out our men from Downpatrick to travel around the district to water the hanging baskets, whereas if the hanging baskets are put out and then local folk are able to maintain them, then that would be more sustainable. Johnny, sure. I don't know whether you want to say anything in addition to that.
I was just going to ask Chair before Johnny speaks on that there. If that would be the case, that villages would be interested in going down the line that the officer has said there, how do they go about it? What do they make recommendations? Do they come along and make requests to the department for the baskets, and then they would maintain them themselves? What's the procedure that they use here to get the baskets?
Well, sure, we don't have a procedure at the moment, but if we learn from what we've done elsewhere, we had expressions of interest which went out to local communities in terms of the sustainable Christmas tree. We could think of doing something similar here, where you put out an expression of interest and work at it through that way. Those communities that will be successful would know in advance what they would be committing to and what the council would be committing to.
Thank you.
So that would be one mechanism that, if the community is so directed, that we would look as an alternative.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Curran. Who's next? Councillor Mason.
Thanks, Chair. I have to say, in principle, I actually I agree with the removal of the baskets. Basically, you know, I do think that they are attractive, and they do add to the villages that they are in, but they are limited, and it's only for a certain time of the year when they are blooming. I really do think that as a council we're looking towards sustainability and being more environmentally friendly, and I think that's the route that we really should be going down. At another committee meeting, there was a proposal put forward for a financial call to go out for community groups, for like growing, having their own community gardens and rewilding and things like that. So I really do think that's a compromise. If we are going to remove them, that we go down that route and allow community groups to maybe take over. There might already be a mechanism there, but I suppose that it's going to take more looking into. But no, in principle, I agree with that, and I'm happy to propose.
Thank you, Councillor Mason. Kevin, do you want to come back on that?
No, Chair. I don't think there was a question there, but I'm grateful for the Councillor's support for the proposal. I'm mindful of Councillor Curran's suggestion. So, you know, there's something in it too, because, you know, we all agree that hanging baskets do add to the floor display within towns and villages. They are limited, 118 baskets across the district. We're not covering the Newry area either, so there's a wee bit of inconsistency there. But, you know, if we could tackle the lack of the environmental sustainability in the idea by having it maintained locally,
I think that will address some of our concerns. It'll certainly help us in terms of the grounds maintenance service with the resources issues that we experience in trying to maintain these over the summer period. So I think there's merit in a number of those things in both Councillor Kern's idea in trying to consider maybe offering this in partnership with those communities, but also Councillor Mason, we're grateful for her contribution in terms of supporting the proposal. Perhaps if I could bring Johnny in, if Johnny wants to maybe, Johnny coming maybe more from the detail, could give some input in terms of what we will replace or how we will use the resources saved on the ground to supplement what we're already doing.
From a grounds maintenance perspective, what we're proposing is an increase in sustainable landscapes. So it would be very much more a 12-month process, so it would year-round. So there would be increased tree planting, more perennial planting with shrub beds. And it would very much will be continuing with the bedding. To be honest, everyone needs a blast of colour at certain times of the year just to lift spirits, if nothing else. What we're proposing is to sort of concentrate it in the main transit routes, centres of the town, very much like gateway locations. Hanging baskets are wonderful. I used to sell them for a living as part of my previous job at one stage. You know, it's not something we're considering lightly, but from a council perspective, they're very, very maintenance intensive, very much resource intensive, and it comes at the point of the year where we're most stretched. And with the limited numbers across the district, we're doing very, very high miles to get from position A to position B. And if there was a process where potentially local communities would become involved and maintain them, you know, it's something that we would very much consider and support.
Yeah, thank you, Johnny. Kathy, have you got a seconder there for your amended proposal there?
I'll second.
Who's that, sorry?
Sorry, Willie Clark.
Oh, thanks, Councillor Clark. Okay, so we have a question in there from Councillor Clark as well. You're next.
Yeah, no, I'm happy to second the proposal. I suppose that if Cathy's happy to accept that amendment from what Dermot was saying about the community, get an opportunity to bid for, you know, to an open forum. For the hanging baskets. I think it works well when the community are bought into it, and any of them, you know, pride, or any of them in bloom competitions is, you know, and is generally the community support is vital, you know, so happy to go with that proposal with an amendment.
Thanks, Councillor Clark. Johnny or Colette, could you just give me right here on in relation to Councillor Andrews at the beginning in terms of going against the proposal? Does he need a seconder for that?
Yeah, yes, Chair. I mean, Councillor Andrews had the first initial proposal, so you would need to confirm whether Councillor Andrews has a seconder, or indeed in light of the proposals put forward by Councillor Mason and seconded by Councillor Clark, whether Councillor Andrews would be prepared to accept that, given the introduction of exploring whether there's a role for the community in supporting these.
Thank you very much. In fact, listening to the contributions of the previous speakers, I'm more reassured now that the community buy-in, to work with the communities in the towns and villages, is to be very much welcomed. And that was my concerns at the start, that a lot of villages would have enough like this here, but with here in Dermot and with Cathy and Willie there, but the communities buying in with the communities and the council supporting them, I'm happy enough to go along with this train of thought. So I'm withdrawing my proposal, but at the same time I felt I had raised some concerns, and I welcome the developments that have come out of it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews, for clarifying.
Chair, maybe it should be worthwhile we just get clarification on what has been proposed and seconded, just for the purpose of the record.
Okay, yeah. Cathy, can you just read out what you're proposing there?
Well, I suppose it's basically what the officers have recommended, but with Councillor Kern's proposal that the community, there's some avenue that the community groups can get involved. But I think we need to bear in mind that there is no duplication, you know, because there will be a financial assistance going out in line with this. So I suppose it's maybe just needs a wee bit more investigation into that.
Yeah, thank you, Councillor Mason. Is everyone happy enough with that proposal?
Yes, happy just enough.
Another question there from Councillor McKee.
Yes, Chair, thank you. Just to double check on the limitations of hanging baskets. In Kilkeel, we don't have so much in the way of hanging baskets, but we do have baskets on railings. Is baskets on railings going to be included along with hanging baskets? And the other question is, who does the insurance for hanging baskets if a community group is going to be responsible for the hanging baskets? Thank you.
Chair, I'll take the second one first, and maybe Johnny could talk about the first part of that question. The second part in terms of the insurance, that will be part of the license agreement that we would sign up with the community groups, and it would be normal practice that the community group would be required to have some sort of level of insurance, so it would be covered with their insurance rather than the council's insurance. And Johnny, if you would like to take, I'm not that clear on the detail in terms of where we put baskets within the Kilkeel area, perhaps you are.
The planters that would have been referred to wouldn't have been addressed in this. Very much they're year round as such, so we would have been planting them as per previous years. It was very much really addressed just to the temporary features that we were looking at, very much from a practical logistics effort over the summer. So there wouldn't be any change as such with those existing features.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Councillor McKay. Councillor Anders, I see you had another question in there, but was that in relation to the last?
Yes, actually that was, I was actually coming in to explain what I was going to say. It's just that it's now null and void.
Okay, thank you, Councillor.
Trust me to be awkward.
Okay, folks, so on item four, we had a proposal then from Councillor Mason on going with the councillors or the officers' recommendations with the addition of community input into how they evolved the situation. So that was seconded by Councillor Clark. So if everyone's happy enough, we move on to item five. Okay. So item five is the refuge collection service update. Members, can I just remind you that in relation to this item, there will be no discussion on industrial action due to confidentiality issues. So officers will not, or officials will not be answering any questions regarding industrial action. So I'll pass over to Johnny, who's going to speak on this.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Members, the purpose of this report was to provide you with an update on the recovery of the refuse collection service, which you know only too well was significantly disrupted over the last number of weeks due to a combination of adverse weather, then the industrial action, then the availability of vehicles and indeed staffing levels. So in the first instance, Chair, this really happened from the start of week commencing the 20th of December, where a significant number of black and brown bins were not collected. That was due in the first instance to adverse weather and was particularly apparent within the high areas of our district. What also happened that particular week was that the alternative catch-up arrangements for New Year's Day, which would have happened on Saturday the 2nd, of January, were also impacted by the adverse weather. That meant we commenced on the 4th of January. We were already outstanding about 2,500 bins in terms of those missed collections. The industrial action then, Chair, from that week commencing the 4th of January, in particular the work to rule, had the effect of compounding that particular situation. And indeed, by the end of that week, we estimate that there was approximately another 20,000-25,000 bins which remained uncollected throughout the entire district. So there was not an insignificant number of outstanding collections throughout the entire district. That week was known as the Blue Bin Week. So that's where the greatest impact was, in particular with regards to those collections. Since then, and although the industrial action has been suspended, we have in the week after that experienced vehicle reliability problems, particularly in the former Down District Council area, and indeed COVID-19 and other staff absences is starting to bite. I currently have approximately 29 staff off across refuse and cleansing, which is a combination of drivers and operatives, and that shows then the impact that it has on our service. What I would say, Chair, is that in response to those significant operational challenges, we implemented a recovery plan effective from the 9th of January to ensure the continued provision of the service in accordance with the scheduled collection as represented in the refuse collection calendars, but also to catch up on the missed collections from the preceding weeks. And how we did that, Chair, was we prioritised the black bins that were outstanding as well as the blue bins. And you may recall through social media and member updates that we suspended going back for the brown bin collections. That was to do two things. One, to allow us to expedite the recovery of those missed black and blue bin collections, but also because tonnages at this time of year in terms of brown bin content are low compared to the other parts of the year. What I can say, Chair, that as of close of business on Monday, the 18th of January, so this week, that recovery plan has now been concluded and we've reverted back to the normal collection arrangements. What I would say, Chair, is it has been a particularly challenging period for the department, but it has worked extremely hard in continuing to provide a service in what are very difficult situation. What we did do is we resourced up on terms of our customer services. So we sought additional call handling agents from other services and within indeed our own directorate to sort of field the anticipated large number of calls. And you may be aware that you gave yourselves regular updates in terms of the status of those collections and also fed out information through the council's social media channels. What I would say, Chair, is what as a department, the Waste Management will carry out a lessons learned exercise. Clearly, if there's lessons to be learned from this, we will learn them and we will put in place the improvements that in the event the refuse collection service is disrupted to the extent that it was in the future, that we are able to respond more effectively than maybe that we did at the time. Chair, what I would say is also as well in terms of resource implications, additional resources were deployed to facilitate that recovery plan. I don't have the actual cost of that yet. But that is something that I will be giving my attention to once that information comes available. Chair, I'm happy to take any comments or questions at this point in time, but that paper is solely for noting. What I should say is also Peter White has joined the meeting as head of refuse collection, so he can assist me in responding to any member questions or comments. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Johnny. We have a couple of questions in there. Councillor Taylor, you're first on my screen.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Johnny, just a couple of things. Listen, first of all, I want to thank the staff for all that they've done over the last number of weeks. It obviously has been a challenging period, as you have outlined. You know, given the issues that have arisen, that have obviously had an impact on the collection service. The only thing I would say is there was still areas that did not receive a catch up service. You know, I've had calls from numerous areas. Some of the issues I had raised with yourselves directly, but I was conscious that I didn't raise everything with you. If I had raised everything with you, you wouldn't have time to deal with it. That's been honest with you. But there were a few areas that I was concerned about around Newton Hamilton, for instance, the edge of Mount Norris, you know, Katy Beg, Katy Moore Road, as an example, Ballygorman area, even areas around Mayo Bridge where they didn't actually receive a catch-up service. They're now, bins are being now collected because it's their turn again, so to speak, you know. It's their due collection day. And some people were sitting in the guts of maybe a month with blue bin rubbish, particularly after Christmas. And I suppose what I am saying in that regard is, you know, we were trying to pass out information and give assurance to people that they were going to be receiving a catch-up service. That didn't happen in some instances. And I think probably from a communication point of view, as part of that review, maybe we could look at that situation where if it is going to be a case that, God forbid it happens again, that people are aware you're going to have to wait to your next collection day. Because I was telling some of the same people, your bin's going to be caught up, your bin's going to be caught, and it never happened. You know, they had to wait until today, for instance, as an example, for their bins to be collected again. The other thing I would say, will the department show some lenience to people, for instance, who have bags on top of their bins? You know, because of the excess of rubbish that they have in their bins, just haven't been able to cope with what, you know, amount of rubbish has gathered over this period. particularly in terms of the blue bin, there's obviously a lot of packaging and cardboard and stuff that came about because of Christmas and presents and things like that there. And I've been asked that question. I did send an email about that, and I was just keen to get, you know, some idea as to what, you know, the council policy would be on that. Because the last thing I think we want is people having to, after waiting nearly a month for their bins to be collected, to be told, no, we can't accept that. It's a bit of rubbish, you know. The other thing is, too, just that I am a bit concerned about the customer services call-in process. I'm getting a lot of complaints about that, John, about people not being able actually to get through to it. Now, it might have been a case, you know, during the last week or so that there were so many calls it was just impossible to get through. But even before that, people have, the guy I'm getting constituents saying to me, I tried to phone customer service, but I can't get through. Could that be looked at just to make sure there's no issue there that's, you know, that's resulting in that problem, you know, occurring? Because I'm just conscious that it's not just one or two people that say that to me. It's been a regular occurrence, actually, about the difficulty they are. And that's not reflective of the customer service staff, because they're in there. But for some reason, people just aren't, you know, are having difficulty getting through that office. And then they're coming through us, and we are subsequently having to send emails to yourselves, you know, to try and get the issues resolved. So it's to try and take a bit of pressure off everybody, I suppose, but particularly you and the other, you know, senior officials in the department. So if maybe you could have a look at that as well, Johnny.
Sure, if I maybe commit at that point. Yeah. What we would say to all elected members, if there are specific areas that we maybe have not gone in to complete the catch-up, please let me know after this meeting, and I'll arrange with officials within the department to see if there's anything we can do in that regard. I'll maybe ask Peter to come in on the black bin bag waste, the additional bags. But in terms of the queries by Councillor Taylor around call handling, we have a very small team of call handlers, and yes, there was a significant increase in the volume of calls. We diverted staffing resources from within the directorate to supplement that team, and when we found that that wasn't enough, we actually sought assistance from the corporate services directorate. Suffice to say that we will learn the lessons of that, and that will be included in the review at the end of this exercise. Maybe Chair, if Peter could come there in relation to the bagged waste.
Yeah, come on ahead, Peter.
Yes, apologies, my camera doesn't appear to be working, so apologies for that. Bag waste, unfortunately, we cannot collect. Our risk assessments don't allow it for a very simple reason. Generally, lifters at the start, when they were first brought in, you could put in bag waste into the back of the vehicle. Now it's more challenging. You literally have to throw it up over the lifters. And from a manual handling point of view, and for the potential of them getting caught in the lifters, and then the waste either hitting our staff or falling on the ground and then having to be collected, that's something, unfortunately, we've had to put a stop to. Purely from a risk assessment point of view, it's, the risk is just, unfortunately, too high for our staff to do that. I know that some of our staff do, and I would expect them all to show a wee bit of flexibility, and maybe what we do try and encourage is, if somebody has a bit of excess waste after we've emptied the bin, if they want to put that into it, we'll empty the bin again for them, just to get over it, because we appreciate the fact it hasn't been their fault that there has been a wee bit of excess waste. But that, certainly the bags, unfortunately, isn't an option.
Okay.
Okay, you
have to help
there, Councillor Taylor?
Yeah, Chair, and as I was saying, again, I just want to thank the staff for all that they've done over the last number of weeks. It's been a very, very challenging period for them all, and listen, it's like everything, you're never going to get everything 100%, right, you know, and particularly in a situation like that where you're not 100% sure where everything is missed. But listen, just want to thank staff again for everything that they've done over this period in terms of the catch up. So thanks, thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Taylor. Councillor Casey, you were next.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Just like David there, I want to thank the council staff, especially the frontline staff, for the work that they have done over the last number of weeks. And particularly catching up on, I'm sure there are areas that have not yet been caught up on, but I'm sure that'll be done in due course. But like David, again, I was having to complain about the call service, people ringing in. I was bombarded, I'm sure other elected members were bombarded by residents who have said, listen, my bin has been missed on a couple of occasions. I'm trying to get through to the customer services, but I just cannot get through. And it's not just once or twice, it's a very regular occurrence. I realise what you said there, Johnny. You just have a limited group of people in that. But if it wasn't for one particular member of your staff, who me, I was in regular contact with, he was a sort of a lifesaver. I'm not the inland person, but he did, he went out of his way, went over and above the call of duty, as the fellow says, in trying to get things sorted. I don't think I know how he was able to sleep at night with the problems. I was giving him anyway for one, but fair play to your department for doing the catch-up and for under such trying circumstances working in the front line. Thanks, Chairman.
Thank you, Councillor Casey. Councillor Andrews, for your question.
Yes, I have indeed. Just a couple of wee pointers, Chairperson. First of all, I welcome the report this evening and Johnny's presentation of the report, and then I do welcome the lessons learned. You know, there will be a valuable exercise looking back over this past few weeks of the emergency and learning from it, and putting the plans in place. Those experiences learned, so I welcome that. In relation to vehicles, I'd like to know, has an audit been done on vehicles that are causing problems, and are there plans in place for the replacement? And just to finish up, I'd like to, a little along with other previous speakers, I'd like to say well done to all on the front line, etc., especially with that much going on between pandemics and, you know, the bad weather and everything, and getting the backlog cleared. You know, it's again a show of appreciation, but again, I'd like to thank Johnny for the report.
I'm happy to come in and respond to that. Yes, we have a vehicle replacement programme, and the council has been very generous putting a significant amount of money into the capital programme to facilitate that. Chair, it was just one of those weeks where if you had a handful of vehicles, it was doubled up, and that had an impact coupled with the staff absences, which then created a bit of a perfect storm, if you don't mind me calling like that.
Thanks
so
much, Johnny. Thank you. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Councillor Andrews. Councillor Stokes?
Yeah, thanks, Chair, and sorry for being late. I was actually dealing with a query on this specific matter, and Councillor Taylor took the words out of my mouth. But I want to thank staff, certainly. In the Newry area, I have to say that staff were very quick in getting around and collecting the bins that had been missed. But I see, I was under the impression that everything had been caught up, but the query actually has come in from the North Newry. I think it's in the Slieve Gullion area, and I've emailed it on to Joe Parks just now. But this lady in particular she still hasn't had or been caught up, and in fact it'll be lifted tomorrow, but it'll be the normal collection, so she's missed, and she's actually got, having to store waste around her home. Which it's not good enough. And for those people who have missed out, it really isn't good enough for them. And I do think, what we've done very, very well in some areas. In other areas, we've let the side down, we've let people down. So I do think that's something that if we can pick up and lessons learned. And I know we can't answer this now, but it would be useful for councillors to be made aware just how much it has cost the council. And I say, I know we can't discuss this openly, we can't get an answer now, but in the coming days, if councillors could be informed of how much this has cost in addition to catch up. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, thank you, Councillor Stokes. Johnny, do you need to come back on any of that, or...?
Yeah, again, sure. If there's specific incidences that elected members know where we have not caught up, please let me know outside of this meeting, and we'll endeavour to see what we can do there. With regards to the actual cost, I will not get that information until management accounts are produced. So once I get that, I'm happy to advise members accordingly.
Thank you. Councillor McKevitt?
Thanks very much, Ona, and thanks for the report. Listen, I think everybody's ears have been sore. Taking calls on both ends, councillors and officials. Something similar to what David Taylor has highlighted. People were ringing, they couldn't get through, and the last resort was to ring the local councillors, and some messages were passed on. Others, we were able to follow up ourselves with the reports that were given out daily. So thank the officers for that. Some of them probably weren't just as accurate as were thought at the beginning, but at the same time, when complaints are coming in, and at the same time, I appreciate them because we're able to get back to your constituents much, much quicker with that report. So, and I do find them useful. It took me a wee while as a councillor to get used to what was urban one, urban two, whatever. But now I've got, I hope I have, or doing other councillors' work for them maybe. But listen, I've been getting major issues with the brown bin. We have had two issues now. I've already emailed Peter about them during the week. One with Clockmore View in Warren Points, that their brown bin had been emptied from the 10th of December, and they have to wheel their bin down a hill, and they are elderly people that have been ringing, so hopefully that will be addressed. And also Billy's Road in Ballyholland, their bin brown bin hasn't been emptied. Now I think that's due to be emptied this week sometime anyway, but people were ringing saying, look, their food bin was full, what do we do, you know. So, but I would like to stress that the delay in the Billy's Road one was probably due to roadworks maybe happening on the Northern Ireland Water down there at the minute for a few weeks, but it still doesn't, and the Ballyholm Road, and it still doesn't take away that to people who need their particularly their food waste. I would have thought the blue bin wouldn't have been a more as important bin to get emptied than the brown, because there's food in it. But as I say, look, listen, we've come out the other end of it hopefully, and as somebody else has mentioned, like, there's lessons to be learned for everybody, including us councillors as well, on things. But I just want to highlight as well that some of our bin men have taken a lot of abuse from residents because of delays, and it was an abuse that they don't deserve. They did come out, they've been on the front line right throughout this pandemic and the whole way through, and the more and more have gone beyond the call of duty, and that includes officers as well, answering calls and emails and stuff after the hour. So listen, that hasn't gone unnoticed, and but I want to place my thanks, the same as the rest of the councillors, for everybody to get us through what was probably a triple whammy for us, that it all happened at once, but they're on the other side of it now, and we're all still smiling, so hopefully that'll not happen anymore. Thanks very much. Thanks.
Thanks, Councillor McKevitt. Johnny, do you want to respond to Councillor McKevitt there?
Yeah, yes, please, Chair. I mean, I suppose in the first instance, I would condemn any abuse of any council employee fulfilling the role. That is very disappointing. In terms of the two areas listed, I will pick that up with Councillor McKevitt after the meeting. And of course, in terms of the daily reports that members get, on a daily basis as to the status of the collections, we'll seek to make improvements to that so that it's easier to follow and you don't have to learn then what is urban 1, 2, 3 and 4.
Yeah, thank you, Johnny. With the final question in there from Councillor Mason.
Thanks very much, Chair. Johnny's actually just answered my question there. It's something that Karen mentioned as well. I don't know whether it's my own naivety or what, but I find those reports extremely difficult to get my head around. What's urban one, what's rural one, and the likes of that. At times I was, you know, there was maybe a report coming in at the end of the day and another report coming afterwards. Thought I got my head around the first one, another one comes afterwards and I have no idea where it's at. But I'd say the likes of Peter and that were very helpful in coming back whenever I did have any queries. It probably would have been nice to have been able to give the residents a bit of an indication as to when, you know, even if it had been a few days away, you know, give them a bit of clarification as to when that would have been lifted, as we were maybe been telling them that they were going to be lifted by the end of the week, but they weren't actually lifted till the following Monday and different things like that. Again, much like Karen said there too, I've actually seen a few instances of some of our bin men getting quite a bit of abuse, you know, with what's been going on, and I'm completely condemned that as well, because there's a lot going on in the background with it. So look, thanks Johnny for that note about the notes going out at the end of the day. That would actually be really, really helpful going forward. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Councillor Mason. Councillor McKee, you're in there with a question. Councillor McKee, are you on mute?
Talking to myself there again. No, thanks to the councillors for the staff and all the work they've done there. And I know there's a lot of people have faced criticism for what's going on, and I know on even on Facebook, as time progressed, and maybe we were asked two or three times to chase up these things, I could feel by the air of the message that we were almost being blamed for no collections, you know, and it wasn't our fault. We tried to do all the right things, but however, we moved on. I must just thank Johnny and his staff for, I think it was the third time I had mentioned to Johnny about how the Urban 1, Urban 2 was working, and there was times you were totally lost in what was done. There was times it was saying Urban 1 was complete, whenever we realised Urban 1 was one of the places with bins sitting everywhere. So I would thank him again for that, and how he's going to work through it. A bit better beef on the bones and a bit of detail, and maybe not so much just a big block area, but maybe itemise it a bit better, and it make much simpler for the rest of it. And again, we hope it's never needed, but it could be needed. It's better to do the planning now, as opposed to apparently this was some old stuff from former council time, but a good time to move forward. Thanks again for that. Thanks, Johnny.
Yeah, thank you, Councillor McKay. I would have to agree with all the other councillors there in terms of the reports being made a lot clearer for us all. It would help a lot. So that item 5 was just for noting. So we'll move on to item 6, which is also for noting, as well as item 7. So item 6 is the DERA Minister's response to the Council's correspondence on climate change. Johnny, are you going to discuss this one?
Yeah, sir. This is just for noting, as you say, but maybe I could just draw members' attention to the second page of the Minister's letter, which is the penultimate paragraph in reference to the climate change bill, and that it's currently out for consultation. Just to advise members that the Council will be responding, but that will be through the AHC Directorate, who will be leading the consultation response. So if members are interested, I would expect to see that at possibly the next council meeting. It's just to advise members of that, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Johnny. Okay, item 7 is the historic action sheet. It was just for noting as well. Is anyone any issues arising from the historic action sheet? Yeah, Councillor Casey.
Yeah, thanks very much, Chair. So the piece on it there about mattress recovery and disposal, I thought we had that particular policy in place a number of years ago, but it seems that there's still ongoing discussions on it, and you know, people are complaining to me all the time about mattresses being dumped at the side of the road. Any indication of when that policy will be set in stone, that we're able to lift that and cure that particular problem? Johnny, thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Casey.
Yes, Chair, I can give an answer on that. Members may remember that we agreed to introduce a pilot scheme about 2 years ago to divert mattresses from general waste to a recycling provider, and we identified a social enterprise who would facilitate that for us as part of the pilot. Unfortunately, in, I think, the middle of the summer last year, they doubled the price, which made it economically unviable for us. So we are still receiving those mattresses at the household recycling centres, so there should not be an issue for the public in disposing of them. And we are currently looking at a business case to reintroduce that service. I'm planning on bringing that business case to the February committee meeting, Chair.
Thank you, Johnny.
Thanks very much, Johnny. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Charlie. Okay, members, items 8 and 9 are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the Council holding that information and the public, may by resolution be excluded during these items of business. Could I call for a proposer and seconder to go into closed session, please? Councillor
Perrin. I propose it, but I want to propose the office recommendation too at the same time. Is that okay? I'll propose now to go into closed session.
No. You what? Sorry.
Sorry,
come into closed session, Councillor Perrin, and then we'll discuss the issues when we're in closed session.
Okay, then I propose you go into closed session. Okay.
Okay. Thank you. And that is seconded by Councillor Andrews. Democratic Services, could you let me know when all the press is left, please?
They're all left. Emma.
Yeah, thank you, Cliff. Or Linda, sorry. Okay, we'll discuss item 8, which is the business case for the refurbishment of Struil Cemetery Amenity Building. Item 8, the business case for the refurbishment of Struil Cemetery Amenity Building. On the proposal of Councillor Curran, seconded by Councillor Andrews, it was agreed to note the content of the report and to accept the conclusion of the business case that option 2 be approved. Option 2 would see the appointment through tender of a competent contractor to undertake refurbishment works to Struil Cemetery Amenity Building, which was extensively fire damaged in 2020. Item 9, the Neighbourhood Services Procurement Resources Update. On a proposal of Councillor Stokes, seconded by Councillor McKee, it was agreed to note the Neighbourhood Services Procurement Action Plan Resources Update. Okay, folks, that concludes our committee meeting for this month. So thank you very much for joining in.
Thanks very much, Chair. Thanks to everybody.
Thank you, Chair. Right, thank you. Good night, everybody.
Bye, everybody. See you soon. Bye.
Thanks, bye.
Thank you, bye.